but what I'm saying, but he's putting to go back.
I guess so.
And Dr. Hackett, the purpose, when you have the mobility that you have in the summer in this office, certain things fall to the crack. The fact that your item comes as an added starter was somebody on vacation didn't place it there. And not only that, the purpose of this meeting was really to review your budget.
Oh, cool. Not a problem.
We are better.
First of all, I'd like to introduce to the committee the two other people from the college, Patrick Curiel, our Dean of Administrative Services, Vice President. Mario Cavalli, College Controller.
Please, just because I can't hear. All right, Dr. Hackett. As a matter of fact, I'm short a couple of members, huh? Yeah.
It may have been a bathroom break.
I know, and I don't blame
you. But we can read this in the meantime.
All right, Dr.
Okay, we can do this.
Uninterrupted,
this
and then we'll...
In 30 minutes or whatever time it takes. We have Patrick Curiel, Vice President of Administrative Services, Mario Cavalli, College Controller. We also had help from Larry Sewell and Ross Pietro of the County Budget Office.
Can we control the sound outside? We wasted a lot of this morning. Please, take your conversations away.
For the legislature, Bob Boland has been helpful too, and we appreciate all the help. What you have before you, we're going to be discussing is, first of all, the college budget is 500 pages. It gets boiled down by the budget office to this booklet that you all have. We further boil it down to the three pages you have in front of you. We'll be going through a number of these points, 13 of them all together, I believe. The first seven refer to the operating budget expenses. The operating budget will go from $106 million to $113 million if you approve, which is about a 6.5% increase. Net salaries will increase by 2.5%.
That's what I heard. Thank you.
We have COLAs in for three groups, the CSEA, the faculty, and non-represented management of 3%. We will also be holding vacant at least 10 full-time positions during the course of the year in order to meet the budget. Because we had such a boom in enrollment, we had to hire additional number of part-time faculty members and professional and technical fees. That's number two on your chart. And that number increased by 15% one budget year to the next. The retirement systems account increases by 13.84%. This is numbers that have been given to us by the TRS and ERS. We have very little control over that. Employee health insurance, number four. We've been working with POMCO. Costs are expected to be $1.4 million, or about almost 11% greater than the current budget. Number five, the equipment. We're freezing the equipment account at the same level we've had in the current year. Number six, total supplies decreases by $9,000. Despite the fact that we've added the new building, the Gateway building, and the utilities for that building for the entire year, it still goes down by $9,000. Total other expenses...
How do you achieve that, if I may?
Okay.
Well, to hire you as a consultant for the county.
Let me just do number seven, and then we'll come back and do that
okay.
together. Number seven is the expense budget increases $841,000, almost 8.5% higher than the previous year. But if you exclude capital financing, which we feel you must do, we actually decreased the total other expenses by $300,000. Now, how do we do it?
Well, basically, what's happened is two things. We've held our total expenses down by $40,000, and that's really by holding the line on many of our expenses. And we've done that really throughout the lines. If you look at it, some of our contract renewals with respect to our copier contracts have come in less than they have in the past. And that's primarily, I think, due to the economy. I think people have become smarter. Some of our vendors have become smarter with a bad economy. Also, what has happened is we had a switch that we had for our telephone system that we bought several years ago. That was one of the smartest things the college had ever done. We used to have a different phone system that used to cost us a lot of money. We bought this switch, and the lease on that switch was fully paid for in December of 2009. That switch used to cost us $19,900 a month. It's fully paid for, and now you can see in our telephone line in account 4160, we have $108,000 reduction in expense. So now for all of our telephone system in the college, all we pay for now is usage. And that will continue until that switch either, you know, fails in service or whatever. So that is we've experienced a tremendous savings, you know, in some of our top of our operational expenditures where we think we have made good decisions that have helped us save in expenses.
We really do watch every penny. That's how we make it.
Another, you know, if you'll look down in terms of the college's 6N fund, you know, we've had some discussions with the budget department, and the budget department has said that because they think that the 6N fund, which is the general liability account, is properly stated for the year, they are not going to require the college to make a contribution to the 6N fund. So all of these things have led to us to be able to look at the expenses in total and be down $300,000, exclusive of debt service, because we are the only community colleges who pays debt service as part of the budget.
Of the 30 community colleges, I assume we're really not allowed even to report it to the state. We have to take it out when we send the reports to the state.
Exactly, and the main increase in debt service is primarily due to two buildings: the Gateway Building, which is a brand new building that we have on campus. And the technology building, which we revamped and updated some of the technological parts of that building, which has helped us to save money. One of the questions, Mr. Alvarado, that you mentioned, how have we been able to save money in our supply lines? Well, one of the things that we have done is in the utility line item. In utilities, many of the buildings that we have updated the building infrastructure, the HVAC, and that has allowed. And what we have done is we put in dual fuel boilers in all of our buildings now. Now those are expensive things to do when you originally do them, but they do save money in the long run. How do they save money? We are able now to be able to pick the fuel choice that we would like to use. If oil is cheaper, we can use oil. If natural gas is cheaper, we can use natural gas, because we have that dual fuel boiler. And that has helped, because we are adding now a 70,000 square foot building, the Gateway Building. Now you would expect under normal circumstances that our utility line would be up over 11%, because that's what we've added. We've added 11% capacity to our square footage, yet you don't see that in our utilities. So that's helped tremendously. So when we come to you and we do, you know, when we and both the county and the state has been very good, you know, over the last few years in funding our capital projects. But when we do that, we have to provide a fiscal impact statement. And when we do that fiscal impact statement, we have to tell you where are the savings going to be other than debt service. And we usually say, and we have a couple of capital projects that are coming your way next week, we tell you that we're going to save money, you know, in terms of, you know, the infrastructure improvements that we're making. Well, here's the proof in the pudding, because we could say that, but then you'd come back and say, well, where is it? Well, here it is. You'll see that in our utility lines and our expense line items. That's where the proof is in the pudding, because we are saving that money in the long run. And you'll see that on an ongoing basis. You'll see that on an ongoing basis that we should save money in expenses and in utilities, in the infrastructure that we are improving.
There is one other expense that's not shown in the chart in front of you, but which has the request for two additional faculty lines has been made by our union, and we are in favor of that, but we haven't reflected that in our numbers.
Can I ask you where we would put that talk?
It would be under a number of lines, but it would be in the personnel services line.
Floor.
Oh,
sir. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
All right, that was going to be a question. Even I jumped into a question. So continue on to the numbers.
Okay. On the next page, you find the revenues, and I'll just quickly go through those, 8 through 12. State aid, the decrease in the budgeted amount for this coming year is a result of the decrease in the reimbursement rate from the state. The state actually had been cut us by $130 per full-time equivalent student this coming year, and that ends August 31st. And then they proposed an additional cut to $2,260 per full-time equivalent student, so that the rate at which they will be paying us in their proposal, if the state budget gets passed the way the governor wants it to, is the same rate that we were getting 10 years ago. So it's unfortunately a very large hit to us. It's offset by an increase in enrollment from 12,200 FTEs to 13,400 FTEs projected for this current year.
Could you say that number again?
Yeah, from 12,200 to 13,400. Now, I should tell you that last year we had 33,839 students in attendance in one or another semester, credit or non-credit. So that's the total number of people served, separate people served. But the number of FTEs goes from 12,200 to 13,400. Obviously, the tuition is going up because the college proposed a $100 per semester credit tuition increase and similar amounts for non-credit students as well. Operating chargebacks like tuition, our budget for chargeback revenue is based on our projections for 9-10, which reflects a higher enrollment this year. Fund balance, the proposed fund balance budget for 10-11, the amount we would use is $605,000. The county share, we asked for an 8% increase, but we knocked it down to 4.25%. 4.25% is known as the maintenance of effort provision. The county must provide as much per full-time equivalent student or in toto as it did the year before by state regulation. So if you take out the maintenance of effort, the total increase by the county share would be $745, period. Special programs and satellites and islands would be found on page 3, and then we're open for all questions. These programs in the aggregate will yield a surplus next year of over $1.5 million. And that includes more than $1 million in the large off-campus extension sites in Peekskill, Ossining, Yonkers, and Mount Vernon. So in closing, we have kept our usual careful eye on the expenses. We've tried to raise revenues to the maximum that we can. The county share will virtually not go up at all, other than debt service for the maintenance of effort. And we're open for questions.
All right. I just have two comments before I open it up for questions. I have Mr. Burton, I have Mr. Benanti, and Mr. Jenkins. How confident are you, Dr. Hankins, that this is the hit we're taking from the state? Because otherwise we would have to amend this if they come up with a different number. I know they don't have.
Well, we drew up a worst case scenario budget. We were one of the few community colleges across the state that said we expect the governor to prevail. Now, if he doesn't prevail, obviously it's to our good. So this is the worst case that's in this particular budget.
Several but the lobbying efforts of not cutting it as much continue.
A bunch of the colleges upstate are now scrambling to try to find other revenues or to cut other expenses because they didn't do what we did. Same thing with the expectations for student tuition and enrollment increases. We've been very conservative.
Where do we rank as a tuition cost per student?
Well, we've been 30th out of 30 up until now, so we don't have everybody's in yet. Obviously, It hasn't passed for this coming year, but we'll be somewhere between 27 and 30, the highest tuition in the state.
So that means we're at the bottom end.
That's right, we're at the bottom.
Right.
Because the other colleges, since you've done it gradually, and that's been the experience, even though at some point we jumped in front of that line three, 4 years ago.
In the 40 years that I've been here, we've been anywhere from the middle to the bottom. Never had the lowest tuition.
Mr. Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to clarify the issue of the two additional full-time positions.
Sure, of course.
Are they going to be funded? You said that you're going to hold 10 out as unfunded, 10 existing full-time positions.
The 10 existing, it helps us balance the budget by making savings. But
right.
No, there's two.
Two that we're talking about adding.
I had proposed a number of years ago that instead of adding a large number of positions all at once, we add two per year for 10 years. We're in the middle of that program right now.
Yes.
But it means the county would be providing those two.
Okay. So they would be funded.
They would have to be funded.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you. The fund balance amount of $605,000, that is a withdrawal from fund balance. What is the balance left of the fund balance?
Mr. Burton, our fund balance last year was $3.9 million. So this would be a withdrawal from that amount.
So it would now be about $300,000.
If we had to use it, this would be a projection.
Understood that this is the last resort. This is the flywheel of all of these.
We loathe the use of this money.
Yes, well, and we loathe to see you use it, but nevertheless, that's what it's there for. And finally, on the maintenance of effort calculation, I think that one whizzed by me a little bit too fast. Could you go over the maintenance of effort calculation on the county share?
Sure. At the bottom, let's take a look at the bottom.
Bottom of page two.
What the maintenance of effort provision is, the regulation is that that maintenance effort allows community colleges to charge greater than one third of the net operating cost, providing that the sponsor maintains at least the same level of support as it did in the previous year. Okay, so that's the maintenance of effort regulation. Okay, so now, if you look at what the county provided last year in terms of maintenance of effort, you'll see was $23,172,1. That was the maintenance of effort. Okay, that was the net number. However, all the numbers that you see on the left-hand side of the page where it says budget 2009-2010, those were all debt service numbers that the state does not recognize. State does not recognize debt service primarily because no other community college pays for debt service. Okay, so all those subtractions are numbers that we pay you back for. So again, you give us the money, the gross number, the $24,952, but we pay you back for it. So it nets out to $23,172,1. So the maintenance of effort numbers is the $23,172,1. So let's move now on to the proposed 2010-2011 number. Although you're giving us $26,001,000, when we net out all the monies that we pay you back for, you're actually giving us $23,172,845 or $745 more in maintenance of effort. So basically, we're getting 0.0003%.
It used to be that they wanted to have a third of the total expense come from the student tuition, a third from the county, a third from the state. The county has never provided a third. The state has been higher. It's now down to 27%. The student tuition is now up to 45%. If we can't get more than 33% from that source, we'd have to cut out the remaining expenses.
What's the county percentage?
Out of business.
The county percentage is 22.4%. The state is 27%, and the student share is now 45.9%.
Actually, the county share right now, without those two new positions, is a lower percentage than it was last year.
Last year was 22.9%.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. First question is, where would we add in the two positions if we wanted to do that?
Mr. Abnathy, there would be four lines that we would add it in. The salary, because we would be asking for two new salary, the 1010 line would go up by $115,000. Health insurance for those two instructors is line 1680 would go up by $55,000. Retirement systems, which is line 1650, would go up by $16,000. And the fees, line 1300, would go down by $44,000. So the net of all that would be $142,000.
Bob, did you?
Sally. Yes, we have the, actually, we have the issue. Sally has the, if you think, in order to protect ourselves, we should put in the ad at this time, because this is the last time. My suggestion is you put them in there.
Do we have a deadline for our ads?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. You're saying always in the future. I mean, we're going to deal with this next Monday, right?
Yeah.
With the hearing.
Unless you want to come back later in August.
Right. There's not a lot of time. So today's not only the legal deadline, but it's also the practical deadline.
Yes.
No other time but today.
And is there a motion, Mr.
Yeah, I would so move.
All right. Moved and second. All in favor for the addition?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Now, just a technical question, if I can, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I think probably directed to our staff. How much money have we set aside in our county budget for this purpose?
The county budget is decided. It doesn't coincide.
I know, it's two-thirds of a year or whatever.
Year. So, I mean, what we set aside in the county budget for 2010-11 is equal to what they asked for last year and what we agreed upon. So it's a moving target, although they start in September. We don't do an allocation. We don't do a split 9 months and 3 months. I'm sorry.
So basically, what will be short is 25% of $745.
No, we need
two sets of books.
No, they're not short. It's always been funded this way. It's like a rolling.
No. What I'm saying, the difference is the $745 between the 2 years. So it will be one. That's actually one third of $745 that will be short.
Take it out of your salary.
Right.
We're not short at all.
But you have to pay for a quarter of it this year.
That's paid for last in the budget.
I'm asking last year's budget. Oh, we just give them the money and we give the payment after the fact. I see what you're saying.
Right.
So we don't have to. Okay.
Right.
So we don't have to pay them the quarter of $745 now.
That's right.
The whole thing comes after the new budget. Yeah, well, right.
Okay. Otherwise, you pay, Mr. Avenant.
Right, thank you.
I have you, Mr. Jenkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only thing that my little questions were asked and answered very well, thank you. The only question I had was looking at the proposed revenue and expenditures, which I guess is the last sheet of paper, and just wondering in the Yonkers facility as we increase the space and increase the space and moving to the new location, which I guess we're hoping to do in this fall.
Yes, right?
I was going to say August, like it's far away,
That's right.
That we hope to increase that number? Is that the...
We hope to increase the number of students studying.
That's right. What's worked out well for us is we negotiated a pretty favorable lease. The lease expense is down $142,000. Utilities is up $45,000. So net we're better on expenses about $98,000. So that's worked out well. The economy has worked out very well for us, and we're seeing that in some of our other leases as well. So we hope to continue that, and hopefully the expense side will do better.
And just for clarity, it was Mr. Carrera working with you all to get that lease done. Is this a separate piece because we had to do some things and to change at the end of it?
You know, I don't know if Mr. Carrera was involved in that part. You know,
I know this committee was very involved because it was in this committee that the original lease died, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a good statement.
So it came out well.
So
yes, it came out very well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Meyer.
Yeah, I just had one. Everything else has been answered. Going back to your employee health insurance with the 10.93% increase, this continues to have no employee contributions, correct?
That's correct.
Did you consider asking for contributions or?
Well, first of all, with the faculty it's contractual, with the CSEA it's contractual, so we have to wait for the proper bargaining sessions for those two. But non-represented management, we have considered it. I will be making a proposal to our Board of Trustees, which will differ from the county's proposal. It will be a slight increase.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not prepared to say so. Our board has
got it.
Very good.
Okay.
That's a very good question on Ms. Meyer.
Just on Ms. Meyer's point, yes. Mrs. Meyer's point, that we think, because when we did the legislation and Dr. Hankin, you came in with the chairman of the board, Mr. Carey, and you indicated that you would be working towards doing that. You just appreciated that the board did not mandate something, that we just, in the legislation, asked that you all consider that, and I'm happy to hear that you are. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And from this committee, the level of cooperation hopefully is felt.
It's appreciated.
All right, a motion is ordered, members, if you don't have any other questions.
We want to add the two positions.
We already did, and it's voted on. It's been added, so as amended, motion is in order from...
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Myers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Burton. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
See you next week.
yes, approved.
Brownies? Brownies.
Trying
to recruit somebody else for the brownies.
Please do. They were really good.
Legislator Marquette does not know the tradition of the brownies at
the board. This is just your meeting pleasure.
Sure.
Yes, and we did notice the faculty and staff honors and achievements. Thank you for sharing the good information. Again, there's so much good stuff going on, and very often we don't celebrate it. They don't give you accolades, congratulations, and congratulate the staff.
Congratulations on
your
new and Doc, while you're going out, Dr. Hankin, there's going to be some, I guess, recognition for your outgoing chair of your foundation. Who's retiring? You have a new
Shirley,
one.
Shirley.
Shirley.
Right? Shirley. October the 6th, we're having a celebration.
Okay.
You're all getting
thank you. We're just wondering.
Well, thank you again.
We're always on your list.
Thank you. All right, we're going to go, unless I have not been presented with any priority. It's a pretty easy agenda beyond this point, I hope. So we're going to go to the top of the agenda, item one, settlement, Muhammad versus Liberty Lines, and here.
Question, was this sent to the subcommittee on litigation?
Yes,
it was.
Yes. Right, remember, we deal with that? Yes. Oh, that's the one we did.
Yes, you did. You asked questions.
Right, that's okay.
It's your
It's a senior moment, and it's understood especially.
Wow. Tyler, don't let him do that to you, man. Right?
Three items.
Don't let him do that.
It's not really a senior moment.
That's a better way to put it.
He's working
I was distracted because I was just reading that I was endorsed by the Conservation League.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you.
So
I was a little distracted.
Yeah, we are.
And for the record, just introduce yourself again.
Gloria Lester, Deputy County Attorney.
Robert Meehan, County Attorney.
Welcome.
So this case involves a request from the County Attorney's Office for the board to authorize a settlement in this matter of $95,000. It involves a collision between the Liberty Lines bus and a pedestrian at the intersection of Gun Hill Road and Jerome Avenue in the Bronx. It happened in February of 2008, about 6:30 at night. The pedestrian was crossing through the intersection. He was about halfway through the intersection when the Liberty Lines bus came through the intersection, and the front corner of the bus collided with the civilian, the pedestrian. The pedestrian claims he had the walk signal. He did not see the bus before it came through the intersection. He was thrown about 3 or 4 feet because of the impact with the bus. After the bus driver proceeded through the entirety of the intersection, he stopped to go see what he had come in contact with, called an ambulance. The plaintiff was taken to the hospital. He was treated and recommended that he follow up with an orthopedist. He followed up with an orthopedist and underwent surgery to repair his left clavicle later on that month. He underwent physical therapy, and we are requesting that the board settle the case for $95,000. The matter is pending in the Bronx, which is a venue which is traditionally favorable to plaintiffs. A research for jury verdict based upon this type of injury and the expected loss of range of motion of his left shoulder. We believe that $95,000 is a very favorable settlement for the County of Westchester.
Came out of litigation, Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
it did. It came out of litigation.
So moved.
And they recommended settlement.
Okay.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Jenkins, second by Mr. Meyer.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And four. And we have item 3213, 3212, 3296, and 3214 with you, so we're going to attempt to dismiss all of those.
We're going to focus our attention to my left.
All right. So let me follow this properly. So we're going down to item 6, local law, JP Morgan Chase Bank, N.A. amendment. And I think 12 is also related, right? 32-12 on the resolution.
I don't have an agenda in front of me.
Yeah.
Right.
Is this for the airport council?
Yep.
This is for a specific proceeding that has been going through the administrative process, and now is it the Second Circuit Court of Appeals?
No.
It's a lease.
32-13 now.
Just the lease.
JP Morgan.
It's the lease.
Bank. N.A. amendment. And the local law
at the airport.
And the resolution.
They're not doing that.
They're not doing it?
That would be the airport folks.
Right. Right. Okay.
Why would you do the council?
Okay, then I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Like he says, it's not a senior moment, it's just
distraction.
Late distraction. Okay. So 32-96 and 32-14, that's a...
32-96 is, Mr. Chairman, can you just let him know what it is? So.
Yeah, it's an
Airport
act retaining Kaplan, Kirschman, and Rocco. Okay, now we are
back
in the right one.
Okay. Kaplan and Kirschman have been representing the county in this proceeding, administrative proceeding for the FAA. Actually, it's the proceeding involving an FAA proceeding. We were given... permission to join as a party. So the FAA is defending this policy by the county relating to light aviation, and we just feel that we should continue to submit a brief to the Second Circuit Court of Appeal, which is due in August. And Captain Kirsch has been handling the matter, and they are the most familiar with it, and they have done a good job so far. And so we're recommending that they continue.
And the subcommittee reviewed this, Mr. Avenatti, do you have any...
I believe we did, and I think we've been highly impressed with them. They seem to have very good expertise in this area.
Is that a motion, Mr. Avenatti?
Yes, it is.
Okay, moved and second by Mr. Jenkins, who I heard first.
Put in
favor?
Yeah.
All right.
Aye.
Close.
Put Britain in the book.
And I am placing an additional as I started on the agenda just because it's of high importance, and that would be
the first
32-14. You should have a copy of it. It's not on the agenda. We're placing it.
Oh, sure. That's
we'll
the Hawkins. Yes.
Exactly. As an
bond council.
Would you go over this item?
Yes, the bond council retained, we did for 6 months, so we could do a full RFP. That council authorization expired on July 31st, so we need to renew our council. We did a full RFP. I think there were about 14 or so submissions, and essentially the firms that we're recommending are three of the same firms that we had over the last 6 months, plus the firm of Nixon Peabody, for the reasons all set forth. They're all highly qualified bond counsel firms with much experience in the area. As you can see, we have a rate table. Sometimes it's a little hard to follow what all the rates are, but essentially these seem to be the lowest four of the group that we received replies from.
And the subcommittee also reviewed
this? Yes, we reviewed this and also recommended, yes.
All right. Motion?
Just a quick question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
We just wanted to know. So an RFP process did go out, and three out of the current four firms of
will
be renewed. Because we just did this in December, didn't we? We did.
Okay,
no worries. Second, that's fine.
All right. Motion has been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Item moves forward. Thank you. All right, so that completes your day, huh?
What about the one that we did this morning?
No, we're not doing that. Just because there's some additional information that we can request, whatever it was. It's not the agenda.
Well, then we're not going to get it on for next Tuesday. Next Monday.
Because it's in the morning.
If we need to do something special, get them on. We'll get them on. Right? If we need to bring, we need to have a board meeting, get them on, we will do it. Right?
All right. We put it out this morning and recommended it to budget. We're not going to do it today?
Yeah, it's not on the agenda. All right, moving right along.
I'm just very concerned because we have a board meeting on Monday morning, and I don't know how we get it on the agenda for Monday morning if we don't do it now.
there was a set of questions as far as the budget was concerned that we're waiting for them to get the information back on, and they expect to get them as quickly as possible to us.
So we're going
to
have another budget meeting before?
We'll have another board meeting if we need to have one. Right. We'll have a full board meeting if we need to have one.
All right. We
members here. All right.
We are going. We don't have an abortion, so we're going back to the top of the agenda. Ms. Jackson. All right. So, whoever is ready to.
IT.
IT. Okay. Item number three. Bond Act purchase computer equipment. 06-10 BIT-6A.
And Mr. Chairman, before the presentation from my IT, if I could just jump in and just let the CIO know that we did and she was here for most of it. A wonderful experience, other than finding out, you know, how to get the network thing started. But you know, we did use the Cisco system this morning, so we'll get there.
Okay.
We were the sacrificial lamb.
All right.
It did.
Chief Information Officer, welcome. And still good morning. For the record, please introduce yourself.
Marguerite Burns, CIO.
Michael Odestick, Deputy CIO.
Welcome. All right, on this purchase computer equipment.
This request is, 6A, this is the request for $500,000 capital for our server and storage environment. Storage is constantly increasing. We need to retain people's data to be in compliance with the New York State Archive CO2. And with all the departures, we're making sure we're retaining everyone's backup to make sure we're in compliance. And basically, our equipment, we try to keep them 4 or 5 years before they roll off and go end of life. And this is just to refresh the environment that we currently have in place.
All right, and this is the final phase of this, I think it was a 5-year project, right? So this is the final.
No, there'll be another 5-year probably coming.
Right, coming yes. up in yes. capital. But this is the end of this particular.
6A, yes.
Members, any?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved by Mr. Jenkins, second by Ms. Myers. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Thank you. This is the only item you're here for, Mr.
Chairman? We have one more, 17.
All right.
Okay. Is it six and so, two and three the same?
Are these two associated?
No, we have,
network
we
infrastructure and upgrades.
No.
They're both 500,000.
Right, they're both 500,000. 6A is for the server and storage environment of the infrastructure. Bit 17 is for the network infrastructure.
Right. They're together.
They're together.
Mike, you want to talk about the network?
Please.
In a similar vein to the 6A, there's a large amount of network equipment installed throughout the county, in every county office building. Within the data center, and all this equipment generally reaches a useful end of life, and sometimes we're even trying to stretch it a little bit beyond in order to.
Well, that's what I'm doing at home. 2004, sometimes it flishes off, but then I put it back on.
But just to go through the normal course of events, it needs to be upgraded and replaced over time.
Members?
So moved.
Second.
And second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And move forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, wait,
thank
before you. I go, Mr. Chairman.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. Mr. Chairman, to the CIO, can you get us a list of the projects that we approved, the capital projects that we approved for the 2010 budget, right, and the status of those particular projects? And the department that it was relating to, especially given, you know, with all the staff reductions that we had, we put in many things in place, some technology improvements that would look like they would enhance life. And I know that we usually have a situation where we IT projects are always questioned because it looks like people are playing with toys kind of thing. But we certainly know that...
Sort of like the chairman.
The toys work, though. But to make sure that we're getting a status of those particular projects, as you know in the charter, Mr. Chairman, that the CIO reports to us as well as the county executive was one of the other two departments that actually do, to understand that, because those technology improvements can help us in some of the staffing gaps that we have, and some of those delays are going to may impact the ability for us to deliver services. I know that we had some of those things in place.
And to that point, Marguerite, if you can, and I know I'm getting reports that there is a strong demand from the administration to continue to reduce staff. Develop a report to our senior budget staff here if at some point you feel your department cannot hold the demands of, I mean, we are investing in technology to save and personnel and so on and so forth, but if at some point it comes that you cannot manage, please let us know. Don't let it come to an end and all of a sudden, and then we don't know where we're going. I hope you understand what I'm
expecting. No, I mean, just according to the chairman's comment, is they're saying that we invested some capital dollars, and we've seen examples of them, like in the county clerk's office, Mr. Chairman, where we've invested $500,000 at a couple of different clips to reduce staffing. I mean, the first one returned his investment within a year, within a year. We know that we have that new social services system that's going in, that's going to replace people. And Mr. Chairman, it just came up to me when we were going out to NACO, and I was checking in, and there wasn't anybody really there. It was just a bunch of machines, right? You know, you checked in with the machines, and you realized you checked in with the machine, you brought your bag over, it scanned it, did all the other kind of thing, and it was no real people. There was one person for like 30 kiosks. There was no individual anymore. And that's kind of the way that you save money in any environment, especially in government, where we can utilize technology, not because it's gee whiz and you all do a lot of gee whiz stuff, but because it could actually save money. Like when I went to the bank and there was no people there either. So you don't go to the bank with people, right? No, you don't go to tellers anymore. You don't fly with, there's ticket counter people, all those kind of things. And that's where, I know that the CIO and IT always gets hung up, because when we look at budgets, people always focus in on the IT and thinking that, they're just playing with toys. So if you could, that would be great.
So just to recap, Mr. Chairman, capital 2010 budget and status for each item that was approved.
And the department that it's impacting, because that is going to be important. We know that we'll find out today, Mr. Chairman, we'll find out today, I guess tomorrow, how many total people, but the number that it started out at 276 people, that was what was the projection, and we'll get Commissioner Saul up in a minute, Director Saul in a minute. And last week I heard 342. I know we initially estimated 402, and the budget director's been right on his other targets. There we go. But we're thinking that the number's going to be closer to 500, so those departments is going to be an impact when we overlay them. So,
okay, great.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, we're down to four items, people, and we're going to go back to the top of the agenda. Everybody, thank you so much for your patience this morning. My committee usually don't run this late, but there were other items in the subcommittee that were also of high importance. So we're going to go back to item four on our agenda, Bond Act SY030, Yonkers Joint Treatment Plant Roof.
So moved.
Let them tell me about the roof.
I could have called in.
We have the video conference working down there, right?
All right, move on, Mr. Jenkins.
We should start.
With discussion, I'll second Mr. Jenkins' motion, but please tell me about this $765,000 roof.
Right, this is the roof on the South Yonkers screen house. This is where we have our CSO facility, the combined sewer overflow facility, our welding shop,
This was, building was built in 1929. It was the first treatment plant down in South Yonkers. The roof is over 25 years old. It's reached the end of its useful life. We're going to put a new roof on it with higher insulation value, reflectivity. And, you know, we have leaks, and it's going into our motor control panel, so it's not a good thing mixing water and electricity.
Really?
It's been moved. Do you want to second it for yours?
No, I second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, one question for the commissioner. For the commissioner, two things. One is that because it's at a sewage treatment plant in the overflow facility, is that a good opportunity for a green fertilized roof? Right. All right. But can you give us a status on the projects that we approved for odor remediation? Because obviously this will help in that as well, right? But with the roof not leaking, but.
Mr. Jenkins, we are going to be doing a presentation at the plant on that date, and he and I are in contact.
That's fine, as long as you. Thank you. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Are you here for any other item? Oh, Sheila, I'm sorry.
No, I'm not here, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. What is the life expectancy of the roof that you put it on now? I mean, 25 years is not, 1986 roofs are somewhat more state of the art. It doesn't seem like a long period of time.
It can be anywhere from 25 to 40 years, depending on what we're looking at is possibly a 40-year roof to put on there. That'll be the guarantees. But again, if the roof starts to fail and you replace it, you may get some credit back for the end of the life of that. But generally, in this case, I think it was originally a 25-year roof that was put on.
It was. Okay. Terrific. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. Okay, thanks so much, Commissioner, and please, let's try to schedule that update presentation on the auto mitigation project down in
South.
And we'll go through the plan, as we usually do.
Get copies for the litigation committee.
All right, we'll notify the neighborhood and let them know.
That's for litigation.
Yes, definitely.
That's for litigation. Make sure I get that.
Huh?
September?
Yes, September. Mid-September, was third week in September would be fine.
Okay. Bring your change of clothes, all right?
I know. My wife always.
It's not the last time I had a meeting in the hopper for you.
My wife always knows when I go over there for some reason. Okay. Okay, item five, White Plains Complex Infrastructure Repairs. Commissioner, welcome, and my apologies for the lateness. This is not the norm in our committee, but
sure. We had discussed this previously in another committee. This is the one with, it's basically two projects, replacing the sump pumps in the White Plains Complex, the garage, and the ventilation upgrade for the TB lab over at 134 Grand Street. All right, it's two pieces. Okay. The sumps are 1997 vintage. They get a tremendous amount of wear and tear. They're at a point now where they need to be replaced. Sumps typically, you know, motors. We're 13 years into the problem. By the time we get this contract designed and awarded, it'll be sometime in 11. So we're 14 years into this process. As far as the TV rooms, ever since we occupied the new health clinic about 5 years ago, health has asked us to convert the room to meet new federal standards, which is a negative pressure rooms. So that if anybody does have TB and comes to those examination rooms, it actually has its own separate ventilation system and it's negative pressure.
Wow.
So it doesn't spread throughout the buildings. So when they refer to a negative pressure room, it's a room where none of the germs will spread to the rest of the building. It typically happens in anthrax labs. The one that we built a few years ago over in labs was a negative pressure room so that nothing could spread. All right. So these are two projects that have been out there for a while. They total about $750.
Oh, $775.
So moved.
It's a mistake on the.
There is an error on the sheet. Let the record reflect that it's $775.
Did I ask?
Oh, $775?
Yeah.
Okay.
So which is the correct number?
$775?
Okay, $775. Okay, and let the record show that the correct number is $775,000. Motion is in order from the members.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Ms. Meyer, second by Mr. Burton. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Commissioner, thank you. Are you here?
I'm here for the JP Morgan.
No. Those are the last two items on the agenda. Thank God. You've mentioned that this item had been discussed with the subcommittee on capital projects.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Just to make sure. Moving right along, 6 and 7, local law, JP Morgan Chase Bank, and 8 amendment and resolution. On the amendment, Commissioner.
Yes. As you know, JP Morgan Chase is in the process of, this is the Hangar E1 lease agreement.
Yes.
The agreement is from April 1st, 2010 to March 30th, 2040. The RFP for this piece was issued in 2007. The previous
2020.
No, 2040 is the term of the lease. It's April 1st, 2010 to March 30th of 2040.
30-year.
It's a 30-year lease.
Okay.
Okay. The RFP that ultimately selected JP Morgan Chase was issued in 2007. Okay. JP Morgan will over, let's see. JP Morgan's lease under this agreement is $92,000 a month for a total annual rent payment of $1,005,000. There's a CPI adjustment of 5% or 100%. There's an increase of 5% or 100% of CPI, whichever is greater, every 5 years. Within this 30-year term lease. The rent abatement is $2.5 million over 10 years. They're responsible for all taxes, water, utilities, and other facility maintenance. They pay to the town of Harrison in 2009, $295,000. So they are a major supporter of Harrison property taxes.
Is that do a pilot?
Yes. Well, no, actually, at
or is
the airport,
that real
even though, right, even though they pay taxes directly to Harrison, they're assessed by Harrison.
Wow.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
Typically what happens is the county will front the money and get reimbursed by the tenant, only because we own the property.
Right.
All right. We are having some issues, as the chairman's aware, with some other tenants who have gone to court and won some judgments in that regard.
Right.
So right now, JP Morgan is asking for a four-year assignment on the remaining 4 years of Hangar D1, okay? As part of that, they will be paying taxes till June of 2011, irrespective of whether they get someone to take over their assignment for the balance of the 4 years. And also, it appears that we've made progress with GE. JP Morgan will clean up the environmental issues related to GE, and we're in discussions with GE, who is intended on reimbursing JP Morgan for that cost. So there's a couple of advantages. JP Morgan will initiate the cleanup. We will assist in getting reimbursed by GE. So it's a win-win for everybody. And JP Morgan will continue to pay taxes on D1 till June of 2011, even though if we do not extend their assignment for the remaining 4 years, taxes would cease and therefore will be a detriment to the local community. So it's really a win-win. And I think the chairman's had discussions with Pete on these issues. And we think that it's an excellent legislation
right.
for both the county and for the local community in terms of paying taxes.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Jenkins, yes.
Thank you. On this particular item, just trying to make sure that it's the right two. Right. On the modification and their lease terms, the real concern is from a financial perspective, it's a good thing that we know that the JP Morgan Chase building, I believe, is going to be the first platinum LEED certified building in the county, between the wind turbines, the green roof, you know, they got everything going on there. So having that consideration to allow them to terminate their lease earlier should another tenant be found is a good thing, given the tax certainty for the people of Harrison is a good thing. And certainly for the people of Westchester, the only concern in the real discussion was regarding the upgrade of the fire protection scenario, and with the assurances of the commissioner or acting commissioner right now, and we'll see how things go. Right.
You know, the ruling by our by our risk management department was that the current build, the building when it was constructed, met the fire codes at that point. And given the fact that the usage is the exact same usage by J.P. Morgan, conceivably, the fire protection that was in place at the time without substantial renovations is still in effect, even though the FPA codes have now become more vigorous. But quite frankly, J.P. Morgan cannot come up to today's standards without the county instituting some infrastructure at the airport, which we propose to do under our capital program, which the chairman's aware of.
Correct.
And I'm in discussions with RISC, and I'm in the process of sending a letter to J.P. Morgan saying that, yes, as soon as the county makes its improvement, then you will have the ability to come up to current FPA codes. But until then, you can sit tight, in essence.
And which and the commitment that the commitment that we have from the administration is that they are that we will be moving forward expeditiously on the capital project for the airport retention basin or the water basin that we need to do because it's our building, right? And we need and it's our space and we need to take care of that. So there's a commitment from the administration to do that, and that's why we're supportive of this because we need this modification for.
And I did receive communication from the administration that they wanted to expedite yes. that. And I want to clarify that when you were referring to the chairman, you were referring to the chairman of the board, not the chairman of the committee.
Chairman of the board.
Correct. No, I don't want to take credit of the work that he's done, and I don't want anybody to assume that I know more details than I.
It would be less credit if the chairman is always blamed.
Well, the blame too. Let it go to you.
Thank you.
On both items, 3212 and 3213, a motion is in order.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Thank you very much.
John, can I just quickly?
People, we have minutes.
I'm not leaving.
Yes, that's fine. We have minutes. A motion is in order.
So moved.
Second.
Let's play more.
She's in the book.
All right. Sheila is seconding whose motion? Bill's motion, right? But we will not have a vote until Judy comes back because we need five.
Judy.
Just say aye.
Step in the door.
Okay. Minutes have been all in favor. Aye. Now, we have items that I've recommended for... receive and file.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor?
All right.
Aye. Receive and file, Judy, on the positive?
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. Now, I think we should adjourn.
No. Now that we have the budget director sitting here for 2 hours, we gotta make sure that.
And I have the report right here. So, Mr. Budget Director, join us. And my apologies for the delay. You know, this is not the norm in my committee. But a lot of important business going on in the middle of the summer, which is a good thing. People tell me you go.
I hate this that everybody says, you guys are in recess.
In recess, like, exactly.
No. Exactly. Everyone thinks that since the other legislatures, city council, all those folks do not work in the summer.
Yeah.
You know, we never stop, Mr. Chairman, because of the work that has to get done.
That's true.
Mr. Chairman, before we begin with the presentation from Commissioner Saul, I just want to bring to your attention, Mr. Chairman, and I, the budget director and I have had communication on this that we've said in the past. You have an outstanding staff, Mr. Chairman, that works in the fiscal department, that works with you, that when we have requests that come from us on pre-board items or any items that we have, those items we've always been very clear about should come without filtering, all right? So that if you ask a question or it comes from a member from Budget and Appropriations, that we don't need it filtered from the folks on the ninth floor in administration. And I understand there was a scenario, and it might have just been an error on that particular one, but we're confident it won't happen in the future. But, you know, that we had some questions from a budget item that was circulated and came back to us through the administration on the ninth floor, and that should never happen. know, we, I mean, the budget director is one of the three that actually reports directly to us. So if we have a question, you know, and we've been clear about this in the past, that we certainly don't mind the sharing, or we would expect the budget director would want to make sure that, you know, both the branches of government are informed of the data, but I'm pretty sure that we don't want it filtered and having to have to be blessed by anybody, right? So just throwing that out there, Mr. Chairman.
And I come into that.
No, I mean that, and that's certainly my understanding that any request that comes directly from the board that we should respond to directly.
I wanted to hear it from you because that's any different interpretation than we're just talking to ourselves.
Yeah, I was also out last week, so that might.
These things happen.
Yes.
Mr. Stoll, for the record, to make it official.
Yes, I'm Larry Stoll, budget director.
John Delaney, deputy budget director.
Welcome. All right, we are in receipt of financial status report, July 2010. Please take us to this PowerPoint illustration.
But as you recall, back in March, I should clarify that we certainly provided the numbers in the presentation. It's not necessarily, you know, our presentation per se, but we do support and back up the numbers in here. The $166 million was a deficit that was projected back in March, and that was based on the knowledge at that point in time. And certain things have changed since then. Which if you flip to the next page, you'll see that based on the savings that we believe are fairly certain to be achieved, and this, I should clarify, this deficit is with respect to 2011 and not 2010.
Is the administration anticipated deficit?
For 2011.
Correct.
Yeah,
I assume.
That's right. By implementing certain measures, the deficit is brought into pages later that will detail what those are, but that brings it down to roughly $130 million. And go to the next page. This is a depiction of the monthly sales tax, and this is county share sales tax collections. As you can see, the numbers are somewhat all over the map, but at quarter end, you tend to see a large jump. These are when a lot of it's because of the smaller businesses pay quarterly versus the larger businesses like a Macy's or some, you know, big box store would pay monthly. And you see a lot of collections come in at the quarter end. Also, there are adjustments. There are prior period adjustments. And, you know, one comment I have on the information that we get from the state on sales tax is very limited at best to allow us to properly forecast it. And there's always adjustments in these numbers that make it difficult. And that's something that we're actually going to be part of a pilot group to work with some other counties in order to obtain better information from tax and finance at the state level because I would like to know more detail as far as what the components of the sales tax are, what industries, what businesses are contributing to the sales tax, so we can do a better job of forecasting. And sales tax, one other comment is, year to date, through the end of June, we're up 7.6%. That's county share. I think that if we were to trend for the rest of the year, let's say at our budget forecast, which is about 4.4% versus 2009 actual year end, we may end up roughly $5 million ahead of plan. Now, if it, say it came in at 7.6 for the rest of the year, that would be about $10 million. I mean, we're obviously in the process of preparing our second quarter forecast, and my feeling is we will adjust certainly the sales tax projection upward. But there's a lot of mixed information, economic data out there that doesn't necessarily lend itself to 7.6% growth for the remainder of the year. There's a lot of mixed signals out there in terms of the economy. So. Again, I think we have to somewhat wait and see, but I think it does warrant bumping our projection up somewhat to take into account that we're up at least through the first 6 months of the year. So on to the next page. This is just a depiction of what each deficit level would relate to in terms of a tax levy increase. Obviously, every 1% is $5.6 million. If our tax levy is $560 $1 million, a 1% increase equals 5.6 million. So this is straight math, basically, here. In terms of the savings in hand, as it is characterized here, as you recall, back in, it was March or April, there was a $16 million savings plan that was implemented. That is savings for this year. We're anticipating that out of that $16 million, roughly $12 million will be recurring or will occur in 2011. Certain things in there, for instance, debt service savings, it's not included here because finance is in the process of reconciling those numbers. We anticipate that that $2.1 million will likely be realized next year because the way we structured the refunding is we split the savings between this year and next year. So we think that may, once we get the reconciled numbers, there were some discrepancies found in the debt service numbers and in the process of reconciling those right now. And I have a breakdown. I mean, those are largely, you've seen those savings plans. There's certain items in there, such as some of the items that IT, for instance, had deferred, which will have to be implemented, you know, going to your discussion earlier, next year to stay up to date in terms of our technology. So we think out of that, they had projected $2.7 million out of the $16 was for IT. About $1.1 of that, we think, will be able to be realized in 2011. $1.6 of it represents, therefore, deferred items that will have to be expended in 2011, such things as not hiring consultants, equipment, material supplies, and other things. In addition, parks, there was a savings of 1.6 within the 16 million. We think that, in terms of recurring, will be about 1.3. That's due to hiring hourly workers to make up for, you know, the positions that will potentially be eliminated. Seasonal workers, essentially. So that's a difference of about 320,000. The DA's office, there was they put forth a savings proposal of $110,000. In the budget, as you recall, I think the revenue from unclaimed funds, or seized assets, I should say, was increased at $110,000, but there was no corresponding increase in the expense. This was to cover a position. I think it was a forensic.
Right. So
we don't think that savings will be recurring. I mean, they have actually submitted to us a request for a budget amendment to fund that position. And then in addition, planning, there were vacancies that were assumed in the 16 that we believe will have to be filled in 2011. And again, this is just with respect to the $16 million savings plan. Obviously, we're in the budget process right now, and we will get each department's budget request, which, as you know, should contain significant savings. So this is just with respect to what we know as far as this $16 million that we believe will be recurring. In terms of going down to the next item on, I know these aren't numbered, but the county voluntary separation, $7 million. Now, this number represents those employees that have stayed within the county separation plan. It's now at about at 132 employees. This is the latest number that I received. And this number is calculated by taking into account not only the salary savings, but the fringe savings as well, which largely would be FICA and retirement. Upon retirement, we assume healthcare will continue. This would also include an offset from of lost state and federal aid in terms of social, you know, DSS for every position, approximately 70% in state and federal aid will be lost. Even being the case, they still would have the largest amount of savings almost out of any department just because of the sheer number of people involved, number of employees involved. And then health department also has a revenue offset slightly less at 36% than DSS. And we also assume that we eliminate 80% of the salary costs as a rough estimate to say that a certain number of these people will have to be replaced, and therefore we won't get 100-for-1 savings for these early voluntary separations. And then as far as the state, I mean, today I think is the deadline when people, the second, I guess it's today, that when they have to file with the state retirement system in order to meet the deadline of the 16th. Obviously, some of those people can rescind up to the last day. My The number that, the most recent number, up-to-date number that I have, I mean, this, I'm sure has to be reconciled, is about 224. We estimated here about 225, and at an average savings of $36,000 per employee, that's lower than the county separation plan because of the fact we have to pay the retirement system a higher cost than what the payment was. So that is roughly $8.1 million in savings. Obviously, we still have Part B at the end of the year. We don't believe that that will be a large number of people. You know, and again, that also costs us more because the contribution to the retirement system to cover their increased liability will be actually larger than for those participating in Part A.
Again, what you're saying that this 224 is pretty much a net number by now?
Yes, I mean the number isn't finalized yet, and still we could see some more people. You know,
but only for Part B beyond. Today is the deadline. So
today, if they're going to retire from the ERS, then they have to put their papers in today. That's my understanding. So, you know, and again, there could be a few people that may, you know, rescind before the 16th. They can pull their papers from the state retirement system, I think, up until the last day. And I think there's a provision, if I'm not mistaken, in the legislation that allows them to come back to county service, I think. It was, I'm pretty sure.
Is the state retirement?
It's the state retirement, yeah. So, yes, and so we figure that that's approximate. And that also assumes, again, same assumption, savings with fringe. We've assumed, you know, the same offset for DSS at 70% and health at 36% in terms of loss of state fairway. So that's a net number. I mean, adding those two together, you know, and again, I think that's a general fund number as well. For every employee that migrated from the county plan to the state plan, there's less savings on average per employee just because of the cost. And then the next item is the contractual services. I'm not sure, looking back at this, I would have characterized this all as savings in hand, but I'll explain what's in the number. $1.1 million is the 10% across the board reductions that were done on contracts.
What are you looking at?
I'm on the same page that says savings in hand at the top.
Okay.
$36 million. And the third item down on the right in the box is $5 million for contractual services. $1.1 million of that is represented by the 10% reduction on contracts. And I have a list of all of those contracts that were reduced by 10%.
Can you get us the list?
Can you graph that down?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Is that your pistol?
I think this was already shared before, if I'm not mistaken.
No, so this is, no.
Well, no. Hey.
And everyone wasn't done exactly at 10% either.
Right. Some of, you know, I mean, on average, but yes, you're right. And the...
We don't need it now. We can get it close.
And then the difference of roughly $3.9 million is made up by, in our original 166, we included all board ads. Typically, the budget would not be submitted with board ads in the budget. That is, and my understanding is the DOL would add these items, but also provide the revenue to fund them. In order to adhere to past practice, we essentially took out the board ad because that's the way the budget would be submitted by the executive. So that's what totals the $5 million. In terms of healthcare contributions, that's the non-rep, the legislation passed at the different tiers for non-reps to contribute to healthcare. Obviously, that will come down somewhat after we factor in those non-reps that have taken the early, either the county or the state. Most of the ones, of the non-reps that took the county have opted out of the counties and will, likely take the state. So we need to factor in an adjustment for that. Our original number, I think, was 1.1. It's rounded to 2 million. As far as the lower liabilities, those are comprised of essentially three things. One is, and we've had a number of meetings, which included the board's staff as well, with our actuaries, with our third-party administrator, with finance, to re-estimate our projected contributions for 6N and 6J. 6N, essentially, the actuary recommended a funding level of around $12 million. After further review of the 6N fund and looking at correctional health
liabilities for MedMal, it's determined that we can lower our liability number, and therefore there is an increased surplus in the 6N fund. So what our actuary is recommending, and he tends to be pretty conservative, so I don't think he would recommend this unless he felt strongly, is that we would not have to contribute to the 6N fund in the 2011 budget year because we can use the surplus. There's a number of factors that led to the surplus. They've invested the assets in long-term bonds at the right time and didn't quite get a market hit like other portfolios did. And so it performed well as the lower liability. So we feel very comfortable that we can fund through the surplus required contribution for 6N. As far as 6J is concerned, at the end of last year, the third-party administrator, Triad, had increased their estimate for reserves significantly. The highest number we saw was over $50 million, and that was the number that was used for our 166 back in March. We had a number of meetings with the third-party administrator, with the actuary, and determined that they were using some assumptions, they being the third-party administrator, to calculate their reserve requirements, assuming lifetime on a lot of these workers' comp claims, which was unrealistic. They've since reduced that assumption down. The number's been lowered to about $36 million now. And then, in addition, what we're proposing is to amortize that as opposed to over 3 years, a 10-year period. So that would essentially lower. Our contribution was projected at about $17 million. It's now about, we're projecting to contribute $10 million, and about 7 or 8 of that is actual out-of-pocket expenses for workers' comp. The remainder is to amortize the so-called unfunded liability. And then the additional million is the correctional health contract savings from what was anticipated to pay the medical center versus the new contractor. And that totals so about $11 million, and all of these things add up to about $36 million. In terms of savings anticipated but not yet realized on the next page, which totals $36 million, I know that the POMCO made a presentation, I believe, to this committee last
special. To the special subcommittee.
Okay, that's right. Okay. Where they indicated that we are below budget in terms of our health care costs. And if we look historically over the last 10 years, our increases have averaged about 8.5% on average. If we look at the current trend, and we assume that trend continues, I think we can safely lower that projection to somewhere around 6 or 7%. However, we need to be careful because of, if we have one or two catastrophic cases, that can bump our costs up significantly. But I think because of a lot of things that the county has implemented in the past in terms of, pre-approval on prescription drugs, mail order prescription drugs, I think case management, the whole care guide service, I think we're, potentially it's very hard to directly attribute that to this, but I think we're seeing some of the benefits, which are long-term in nature. And so we safely believe we could project, from what we had in the 166, if we lower our trend factor, about $8 million in healthcare savings. State retirement incentive, again, I talked about that, it's at 7. It may be closer to $8 million when all is said and done, or potentially higher. As far as fund balance, I could walk you through how that we came up with the $24 million. Essentially, we had assumed a use of fund balance. We assumed that we'd end 2009 with $27 million in return of fund balance. Since we've closed out 2009, we saw an additional $2.6 million.
Haven't closed it out yet.
Okay, it hasn't been closed out yet. But I think we're pretty close to, finalizing the numbers.
And there was the number around?
About $29.6 million is what we saw. A lot of it was we were very aggressive in making sure that we weren't over-reserving for things and liquidating reserves. So we assumed 27 originally. There's another 2.6. We also assume there's a $10 million reduction in reserve, or there's a $10 million reserve for state receivables. We're assuming a $5 million. $5 million of that reserve will be taken and used, appropriated to balance the budget. We assume that the balance of the retirement stabilization fund of $2 million would be appropriated, and there's $300,000 for vehicle purchases, as well as, now GASB 45 is not a reserve, that's a designation, but there's roughly $41 million set aside for our OPEB liability. We're assuming that we take $10 million of that reserve into to to balance the budget. In addition, we have $4.4 million in Medicaid designated for Medicaid costs. So that totals 24.3 added to the 27, gives us 51.3 million of appropriated fund balances, what we're projecting. And one concern there is that brings our fund balance down to a level of, it's, you know, I should say undesignated, you know, close to $30 million, which, you know, is getting it kind of tight, if you will. I mean, and so, and certainly is well below what would be recommended by, you know, rating agencies for someone who's a AAA rated municipality.
What would they recommend, if I may? To
I mean, I think roughly they say 5% of your expenditures should be set aside in terms of your fund balance. But of course, you know, that's during the good times, and you set it aside to be able to use it for times like these. But unfortunately, we've had rainy days extending, you know, much longer, I think, than originally anticipated.
Deluge.
State the obvious. I mean, but so, you know, I think we need to be a little bit careful there, especially when we're seeing the state really slow in paying us our reimbursements and so forth. So, you know, I think we have to really be careful about, you know, looking closely at our cash flows and our fund balance. And then, of course, the last page, I mean, on the next to last page are some potential additional savings options, which this would leave about a $91 million gap if we, you know, and again, this does not assume, obviously, any increases in sales tax, but I will, well, it does assume an increase in sales tax over the budgeted level, let me put it that way, for 2011, but it doesn't assume that our base is higher than what was budgeted. However, you know, we're in the process of preparing our second quarter forecast. We're seeing, you know, obviously playland down significantly, unfortunately. We're seeing a tax surge.
Versus year ago?
Versus budget.
Oh, but not versus year ago.
No,
not versus year ago, but versus budget. And we're also seeing tax surge increasing significantly. I think we're up about 74% versus last year, which, you know, makes sense that people are filing more appeals. So, at any rate, there are going to be some offsets to that, to the extent we do increase our sales tax projection. And again, these are some of the options here. Union healthcare contributions that we estimated at, based on the current legislation, at $9 million using those same percentages, and wage freezes of 17, that would be all unions. Departmental budget cuts, you know, at $65 million would be a 12%. At $91 million is roughly a 17%, taking that versus the tax levy. So, and then the last page just equates the dollar amounts to jobs.
I have Mr. Jenkins and then Ms. Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Sowell, for the Deputy Director, for the particular thing. Again, so we started off in the beginning that we're working from the worst case scenario, right? So we're working in a worst case scenario with expenses increasing at a 6% level. Our expenses increasing at a 6% level, and our revenues remaining flat, if I recall the formula correctly.
Right? No, the revenues we did project, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was 3.5% or 4% increase in sales tax year over year. We didn't project any increase for the current year over budget, but we did project an increase in terms of coming up with a 166.
Okay, the information we have.
I don't remember the exact percentage.
I thought the revenue was flat. Is that, right. That's one question. So you're projecting now that that we'll have some level of an increase. So can we just clarify that? I mean,
sure.
We'll do it now just to make sure. Because my understanding in the original presentation was that the revenue was flat. It was based on our current numbers.
Well, the base was based on our budget number, but we did assume an increase in 2011 when we came up with the 166.
And I don't remember even 4%, I think that 4% would have been aggressive based on what we've done in the past as far as projecting sales tax. We've never projected a sales tax at 4%.
Yeah, it was 3 to 4. I don't recall the exact number.
So I thought it was flat. So if we could check that, that would be great.
Absolutely.
The total impact, we got the email from you, thank you, on the impact of the state budget on the expenses and revenues, and you said that number looks like it's only $2.4 million after the $10 billion worth of cuts they had to do at the state level, it's going to impact us only by $2.4 million.
I think that was an incremental number as they passed each of these budget bills, they were incrementally putting cuts through, and I think that was the most recent one that we saw was, I think, DSS,
okay,
as well as health. So that isn't in total, because there was obviously the 3.6 for DOT, and so it's more than the 2.4 in total, but I think that was just the most recent cut we were.
Okay. And through you, Mr. Chairman, if we could get to the budget staff, at least a list, because we were trying to understand the impacts, because we know many of the services that we provide, like DSS,
right,
are directly impacted on a reduction in state aid.
Right.
So if we lose $1 million in DSS aid, that equates to the county to X, right? And I guess right, it would be $300,000 and some change, right? So we wanted to understand that, because the numbers don't match up based on what we have understanding from at least the state impact right now.
Right.
So we know when we get less money from the state or from the federal government, our expenses are less. So if we can get that, because these numbers don't seem to reflect that at this point. Right. That's one. Yeah, you know that the board has a consideration for a tax cap in front of it. If we had that particular conversation to put in as well, that we have at least, and we're certainly going through the process, it's not anywhere close, but from a projection perspective, we should be putting that in the calculation as well. Because, you know, none of these tax hikes on page 1, 2, 3, 4 would be in the mix from a tax levy increase. It just wouldn't. So it would be more helpful, at least from our perspective, you know, when we're projecting, that at least we understand that this is the case and how that level of impact would be, because that's going to impact obviously the level of services that we would deliver if we were cutting out, you know, $90 million or $100 million right, dollars worth of non-mandated services. What would that mean? Sure. That would give us, Mr. Chairman, certainly on a committee, a better understanding of what things and the people out in the county, a better understanding of what things they may be impacted with, because we have to have a certain level of employees that meet the mandates that we have from the federal and state government just to provide service. And we have a certain set of mandated services that kind of go together. So if we could see that, that would be more helpful, at least from our discussions, that we can go back and forth. And obviously that the cap is at proposed at 3% or the rate of inflation, whichever is lower. And if you could kind of show us both of those, that'd be really helpful.
Well, I mean, the rate of inflation right now, it depends on what period you look at, but you typically do prior to 12 months.
That's right.
And you do a cutoff date this prior to the budget, so you know what it is. And right now, it's around 1%. So that would be the lesser of,
Because that's helpful for when we're all trying to manage the departments and trying to figure out what things we can do, so people understand this is what would happen if that, you know, was implemented, and we're certainly hopeful it'll get implemented.
Sure. I mean, if you want me to, you know, review the draft, or, you know.
That, I mean, just do to the chair and to the budget staff, that would be fantastic if we can have that, because that'll be helpful in the conversations when we get to legislation, which is what I guess it would be from a tax cap perspective, so people understand this is how it would be impacted. The medical center contract, if we could have a better breakdown of that on the liabilities, the cost, the expenses, the liabilities, because understanding the contractual terms right now, there is certainly an increase in expense for the correction officers that need to do the transport from the jail to wherever, whether it's Mount Vernon for some services, whether it's to the forensic facility, because Mount Vernon can't provide the forensic facility either. My understanding last time I heard, Mr. Chairman, was that it was somewhere near Albany or some nonsense like that, the facility that we had contracted with to take our mental health folks that are a requirement based on the Department of Justice thing. So we need to understand what that level of expense difference is. With the Mount Vernon hospital contract, it's my understanding, Mr. Chairman, that it is a flat rate, right, contract, so that we are going to pay Mount Vernon either Mount Vernon Hospital $500,000 or $600,000 a year, no matter how many people actually use the service, right, or how many beds are actually utilized there. That would certainly be a question that we would want to handle or understand how many people would be there on a normal basis, or just in general. So we need to understand that. for that, because that'll change that liability. And also that whole $3 million figure, I heard it, and Jim Mazzano and I were privileged enough to be jousting over the weekend, and the number of about $3 million worth of savings between the medical center's current cost and the proposed contract with CCS, or the contract with CCS, has a $3 million savings, at least on paper. Although, you know, through you, Mr. Chairman, you know that the medical center didn't agree to whatever things, the contract was going to be the same. So I'm not quite sure about that. But let's say on our exact numbers the way they are right now, the biggest savings, the difference of savings was the liability for the insurance, the indemnification, which the numbers we got from the committee, Mr. Chairman, was $330,000 a year of savings. So the $3 million in a three-year period, the numbers still aren't adding up. So if you could get that, sure, that would be helpful as well. 39, 3.9, board. Oh, and for clarity, that yes, the board ads were never in any budget, but we actually worked together with the budget department to work things out so that the math ended up correct.
Right, I understand.
But that's that particular item. And as far as the anticipated savings, if you could break down again the mid-year savings number, the way it was presented was that the mid-year savings number of $12 million wasn't what you were incurring for 2011. And if that is the case, then this number, this labeling needs to change, because this is projections for 2011's budget. And based on your presentation, and it was excellent, that the $12 million is what you think that you will be able to repeat from departmental savings in 2011. So the slide would certainly need to be clarified, because the questions that all of us had was that, oh, it looked like the $12 million savings was actually a $16 million of projected savings, was really $12 million savings, but that's not what your presentation suggests.
Right, this should only, should be attributed to 2011. That's what we assume would be recurring.
Okay, and if we broke down, because if we had a list of that, Mr. Chairman, of the breakdown of the savings for 2011, and it'd be interesting to see how some of those savings would be repeated and not just based in the base foundation budget that a department would present, because there was at least $5 million savings from DSS between foster care and the child care that we're still fighting over, et cetera, that were in that number of $16 million. That would not be repeating. I would suspect that the department would hand that budget in with a lower number from the very beginning. Just throwing that out there. The health insurance plan savings, thank you. It was a great meeting that was co-chaired by both co-chairs are here now, that we understood from PAMCO that there was $6 million worth of savings so far. And it's not really savings, right? I mean, the truth is that it's kind of an overestimate of the insurance. The premium equivalent that we basically overfunded.
Well, it's a savings, right? Right, right, right. So budgeted.
It is savings, if I may, on that same point, on that point. And to the extent that the deficit really is, the deficit is really a projection of what purported tax increases will not be made, and therefore you work backward.
Right.
So in that regard, it would be a savings, that's because right, that's an amount that you would not be booking as an expense,
right,
mm-hmm, that goes to the tax levy.
And
right,
actually,
like you just said, we don't budget prepare a budget on a monthly basis, sure, but to come up with what your budget would be through the end of June, you kind of have to look at historically seasonality in terms of your costs and kind of come up with an average. So it's still really an estimated savings. We kind of have to look at the whole year to see what it...
All of them are estimates.
Exactly.
All these numbers are estimates.
That's right.
And understood it. That's actually one of the interesting... Playland, you projected... Can you break down that cost for us for Playland? Because
what page are you on?
No, it was in his presentation.
Oh, yeah. Clearly
it's verbal. Not really part of these
right,
numbers.
No, right.
We're in the process of obviously doing the second quarter forecast, and our initial understanding is, you know, that we're going to have to adjust the projections.
Right. When we do that, can we make sure that we break out the differences in the activities at Playland? Because
sure,
in that number is embedded both the fixed park course, like, you know, we'd spend money at that no matter what because it's a park, right? Yes. And because of the pool and because of the boardwalk and all that other kind of thing.
Right.
Separate the amusement park portion versus everything else because the amusement park had a number, and from everything we've been told is that from a revenue perspective, they're going to make their number from the revenue side. That they're not having the question from the Parks Board, and Pete Harcum is our representative, Mr. Chairman, on the Parks Board, although we haven't got the official things. We have to send the documentation to the county executive, letting them know that that's our person. However, it is our understanding that revenue obviously is ahead, although there's less people that have attended. Mm-hmm. And Commissioner Stout said that there was a that looked like some level of an anomaly because there's no reason that should happen, that you have so much of a drastic increase in revenue and have showing a decrease in the number of people that have been there. So,
clearly we have to get behind the numbers and understand.
Right, but because again, from our perspective and being the budget committee, is that part of the real issue for us is trying to get a good handle on the numbers so then we can get to the other pieces. The contributions, the union healthcare contributions, wage fees, you know, I mean, from overall, Mr. Chairman, I'm just suggesting that I think that, you know, for us in a presentation to have those type of activities is probably inconsistent with us being able to have whatever negotiations done with the unions that are, there's six open contracts right now, and whatever things get negotiated, we're wishing well with the administration's negotiator, which is Vince Toomey, and those six unions working together to understand that. But in the experiences that we just came through in Yonkers, Mr. Chairman, where we had garbage piling up in the street, et cetera, that the unions, when they were asked to contribute, were not asked to contribute specific items. They were asked to contribute a dollar amount and said, figure it out. You know, what things can you live with to get us to this number in far as helping things out? And just so you know, at least at Yonkers, none of them included healthcare contributions or wage freezes, right? So, yeah, the people lost some people, one department, I guess, the DPW lost 12 workers. But other than that, everyone else remained whole at the numbers. Just so from a budgetary perspective, you know, having these kind of items on paper, I just think, Mr. Chairman, would just not be helpful altogether. So we have a cap on the number that we think about taxes, so we already know it's not going over 3% minimum at your numbers right now at 1%, right? So expenses can't only fit, we got to fit inside that world. And then what do we have to do after all after everybody's said and done? If everything stays the same right now, which we know it's not, if it stayed the same, then this is what would have to happen. But I think that was it, Mr. Chairman. If those questions could be answers forthcoming, we really appreciate it. We know you all are working hard just trying to make sure things stay up to date. And Mr. Chairman, the numbers that you projected include the money that the medical center owes us at this point in time, or is that still up in the air? Because I know that we sent sent an invoice at last month's meeting that happened. I think we did not get a check. We asked for a check by July 5th, and that didn't happen. And I expect people with black leather jackets and, you know, and brass knuckles or whatever to go out and get our money. Well, but even better still than that, I expect that we're not going to be paying the medical center, Mr. Chairman, for work they are doing or have done for us, you know, at this point in time. Their contract was $14 million for the year. We got maybe halfway through the year. That's $7 million. Until they paid us, we shouldn't be paying that. At least that's the kind of way we worked, you know, old school, right? You know, you pay your bills, we pay ours. You know, it's kind of...
I'm wondering, can we actually do that? What is the administration's perspective on this?
The hospital corporation is purely close to $5 million, and the billing today, of course, they said that the backup requires to that is improper. I am going to contact the host, John Shue, the finance director, and see if we
Mr. Chairman, the reality is that while that's in dispute, and that's fine, right now we have a severed contract at the medical center's initial request, but then there was a resolution that said otherwise, that we accepted their withdrawal letter, whatever. And certainly one of the county executive's roles, item 12 in the charter, if I recall correctly, is the county executive should be supporting local laws, acts, and resolutions, by the way. I was actually surprised at that. But whatever action, Mr. Chairman, we should have a communication to your committee to say what the county is doing to try to recover the close to $20 million that we're owed between the outstanding bill and this particular item, and basically freezing their money just like the federal government froze ours when they had a dispute with us on something else. So thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the lengthier period of time to be able to go through this.
No, but it's important because this document is out there, and it lacks some accuracy, and I'll say that on the record. But again, the numbers have been the numbers, and this is the number that the administration put out, and so be it. And that's how they intend to execute, still severe scare tactics. And the sentiment out there is horrible for the employees. And, at some point, you get what you pay for. Ms. Meyer.
I just had a quick question about the 2010 contracts page that we got a copy of. I don't understand the difference between agreed to savings column and proposed savings. This was something that Larry had and that we got a copy of.
Do you have an extra copy?
Sally does. She's coming with it.
I think that, obviously there was a request to, for 10%.
Right.
Not everyone did 10%. And I don't know specifically each one, but it.
So I was looking at like United Way, that sort of stood out. We were going to give them $100,000, and now
can we
take this offline?
Yes.
Sure.
Please. Just because everybody's going to pick.
But you don't know what this is.
Mr. Chairman, just really quick, I actually could explain it really quickly.
Okay.
Is that the proposed is that those particular contracts were in front of the administration at this particular point in time on requests that came from the Board of Legislators, and what we're doing, as we agreed to, is to talk to the agency to understand what that impact was, and then the board will make a decision on whether or not that number is acceptable based on the services that
will
not be
there. So it's just these two right now, Strategic
those
Business Alliance
ones,
of Yonkers and United Way?
Those are the only two right now that have not at this point in time. As a matter of fact, The Arts Council is a bigger number. There's breakouts in it. So those two are the only two that are outstanding right now. The other ones have already agreed to some level or no level of a reduction. So in Arts Council, we had several different sets of contracts that did not have any reduction. And there was one from the one that really comes from the administration that had a reduction.
Right. And that's what we see here in agreed to savings.
So correct. The Arts Council agreed to $116,000 in savings.
That's correct.
Right. Can we not look at that sheet? That was for you to look at individual situations and stick to the original presentation.
Yeah.
Judy, did you have anything?
That was it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Williams.
I just have two questions. One question relates to the cost related to the indemnification on the medical center contract. Did you get a legal liability memorandum saying whether or not the indemnification that's provided by the company is sufficient enough so that you would not have to, let's say, reserve for legal liability?
We did not specifically for the fact that the new entity is going to indemnify against the county for Med-Mal liability. We didn't adjust the required contribution based on that. This was based on the existing situation prior to that contract being entered into, that that we had previously set money aside for the medical center to cover certain costs for Med-Mal claims. And after looking at the valuation of these liabilities, we determined there was some double counting taking place and that it wasn't properly accounted for, that we had set this money aside. So
right.
there was no adjustment with respect to the new contract, but looking at past historical right. claims, it was determined that we could reduce that liability, thus and increasing our surplus.
Right, and how much did you reduce it to by?
I think it was close to $3 million.
And that's in these numbers?
It's based on the required contribution or the lack thereof of
right.
no,
taking down the reserve, yeah.
Taking down the reserve essentially is based on that, yes, correct.
I mean, okay,
we have the actuary's report that shows.
And that's $3 million in this right now. It's part of these
part of
deficit
the,
reduction.
Of, correct, yes.
It is.
Okay. Part of that $11 million.
Okay, and the other side was the claims that actually, on the new contract, basically, in terms of whether you are setting up adequate reserves for the future. Not on and the prisoners contracts now I'm talking about.
Right.
The transporting and the whole management of the medical services related to prisoners. Have someone opined legally in terms of the adequacy of the indemnification that we are saying there's a savings related to?
No one has opined on that.
Okay. Could you get a legal opinion from the, given that we have the contract and given that we're projecting that there is some savings, which means that when you project there's a savings, this means you're not going to set up a reserve,
mm-hmm.
right? And therefore, generally, under generally accepted accounting principles, I can tell you that you're required to have a legal opinion that tells you what your whether or not you do have an obligation to set up a reserve. That's, yeah, I can probably remember what the APB or FASB number is, but you're required to have that in terms of determining if you're relying on another contract to support your failure to establish a reserve. So I'd like for you to get to us, if you can, the legal opinion, I guess, from the county attorney would have to be that the adequacy of the indemnification is such that the county would not have to establish a reserve, and therefore these savings are real.
I can certainly request
point?
That. I'm not
yeah.
sure they can provide it. Yes.
Nice thing to that.
Yeah, but it's something that you're going to have to request if you're going to put out financial statements that are at least credible and compliance with generally accepted accounting principles. You're going to have to prove that anyway. So since we're projecting the numbers now, I'm just asking that you do that, that you get the memorandum now so that we can look at it. Yeah. The other thing is the health insurance, healthcare cost reductions. The presentation that was done by POMCO that suggests that there was a reduction in your reserves related to the claims that are in the. In other words, we have over a redundancy or over reserves for medical claims based on the POMCO analysis that they've done with, to the extent of what, $5 to $6 million? Judy?
Yeah.
How are those numbers factored into this?
Yeah, what we did was we looked at year to date, and that goes back to the discussion that. You know, we're saying that we're below budget by about close to $6 million in terms of our health care costs versus what was appropriated.
Right. Not, I'm not talking contributions now.
No.
Nothing to do with...
No.
So it is in here? It is in here.
It's in the lower liabilities in the $11
million. Well, it's
$8
million. It's not...
Where is it?
It's...
savings in hand page.
No, it's actually on...
I would think not, because as of last week, it was...
It's on the next page, savings anticipated.
Right. Okay.
It's $8 million in the box. It's the first item.
Oh, this one. Okay. Below what was anticipated. Okay.
And that
anticipated, the $39 million. No, I'm on the wrong page.
Savings anticipated, but not yet realized.
The $39 million? So you have the $8 million here?
Correct.
That's the number?
That's the number that we're,
No, that's a full year number?
Full year number, yes.
Okay, so... With that number, what we're saying is that if you look at 2000, that's what will be realized in 2011, right? Is that what we're saying?
Oh, correct. Yes,
right.
That's versus
okay.
our original projection.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, when we originally project, we projected based on 2010 numbers, right, as a base year.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
And we know that base year is at least from what we know that part of that base year comes in 2010.
Right.
right? So what are we doing with that portion that comes into that?
We're using a lower, we are using a lower base, you know, based on the savings.
Right, no, for year over year, 2011.
Yeah, what we're essentially doing is we originally had an assumption of an 8.5% trend,
okay,
factor, which has been the historical average,
right,
and that's what PAMCO had advised,
right,
us to use. Now we're seeing it, you know, based on the savings,
right,
you know, it's more in the 6% range.
Trend
we're
saying, okay.
But we're saying, well, maybe we shouldn't go all the way to 6%. We go somewhere in the middle, and we'll assume 7% to be conservative. Obviously, you know, as we have a few more months of experience, we'll see if that,
right,
this trend
it
continues.
Could be over or it could be under, right?
Correct. And that's...
Okay. Now that I understand, but I still don't understand what happened with the base year number. The base year, this is only for the year out, the next year out.
Right.
The base year number also is overstated, which falls to fund balance.
No, we use a lower base year number based on the savings.
No, to project your 2011. You
I'm not understanding.
What I'm saying, okay. In other words, that's assuming you reserve.
A lot of savings this year. I mean,
yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, that's when we do our second quarter forecast, I mean, we'll,
right,
adjust our number to show, to reflect that savings.
Okay, absolutely. So that's in here already, or is that?
Well, this is really talking about 2011.
Okay.
I would say it is in here, though, because we use that lower number for 2010 as the base. So
I understand the basic,
yeah,
calculation, but any benefits that you get in the current year falls to fund balance. So when you did your projection on fund balance, right, which,
yeah,
I came in, when I came
later,
in, I heard.
Yeah, 2 years later, you'd be able to use it. It's a two-year.
Understood.
It's not 11. Right.
I understand very clearly,
okay,
that it has to age for 2 years.
Right.
But what I was getting to is that when you talk about the fund balance being lower than, we were talking about the 5% rule, which... Did you take into account that fund balances will be created,
okay,
from this year? Or part of fund balances being created from,
well,
this year?
Again, whatever's created this year would impact fund balance in 2012. So our 2011
utilization of fund balance in 2012.
Right, exactly.
This,
yeah,
is the very,
exactly,
end of budget.
But you took that,
yeah,
into account. You took whatever positives we have.
Isn't legislation
we could
two?
Use in 2011, we assumed
legislation
would be
was
used
two.
In
anything else you didn't take?
Are you sure?
No, because we assumed that we
Well, just from a historical standpoint, one of the reasons why you reaped the benefits of having money to bring in to as a catastrophic is because, you know, we would budget $140 million, we'd put it all over until the Internal Service Fund in the course of the year, and that whatever was left there stayed there, separate and distinct from fund balance,
right,
to balance the rest of the budget, recognizing that in years out, whoever the budget director was and whoever the board was could bring that money in.
Right, we designate.
It's a separate kind of. It's a separate.
But it's fund balance, but it's designated, isn't it?
Designated.
It's designated.
It's reserved.
Right,
it's
right,
yeah,
right.
So.
But and that, yeah, designated fund balance, you can look at and decide, well, I don't need to designate as much as I can. The board can make that decision with the accountants.
Right.
And they can release from there the amounts that are. Now, that doesn't get aged for 2 years because that would have been sitting there for a longer period of time.
That, well, two-year aging,
yeah,
is just a county. You can use it immediately.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fund,
yeah.
You don't have,
yeah,
to
exactly.
I mean, I think typically, I don't think there's any requirement that you,
no,
have to wait 2 years, but I think typically you wait until you closed out the books to know,
I know,
you actually,
I know,
really had that money available.
And I would
say that makes sense, though, to reserve, because when you have catastrophic, to have something there to cover it makes sense. I mean, Night Shift does the same thing. They overcharge in their premium and they build up reserves, and that's how they set money aside to cover, they always...
No, I don't, I'm not saying I disagree with the, I think you definitely...
Can we wrap it up?
Anyway. All right, I have finished my questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so Mr. Gold, thank you for the direct
thank
communication
you.
With Warren, and I wanted to hear it from you directly, because I want everybody on the same page. I don't totally agree with this, and like you said,
very
the numbers good. Are the numbers, I think the administration should really consider what it's doing to the morale of all of our employees out there. It's horrible. It's what's evolving, and I am very saddened by it. And I think my colleagues are receiving the brunt of it when we are out there. You know, morale is very low, and we were talking about a catastrophic situation with Child Protective Services. We're mandated to do a lot of stuff, and everything that surrounds what we do mandated is supported through all of these projects. And those are the targets of these cuts. As an individual legislator, I disagree, but so be it. Thank you very much. Motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
The second. people. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
This is a lot of work.